2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 12. Pray for me that I might be a help. I'm sure that you other men could certainly share more of a wider range of experience in the ministry, but I do want to be a help, and I want the Lord to help me as I try to preach, and so I'd appreciate if you'd pray for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Mr. J. Vernon McGee said, I'm surely not. Only the Holy Spirit of God is. Amen. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the marks of a meaningful ministry. The marks of a meaningful ministry. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you, it's with thanksgiving. We do rejoice in the Lord Jesus this morning and what he's done for us at Calvary, what he's doing for us, just who you are, our Father, as Brother Tom reminded us last night, just how great your person is. Our Father, we're so thankful for that this morning. And what brings the most joy to me is to know that you're mine, that you're my God, my Father, my Savior. Our Father, we rejoice in that this morning. We rejoice in you. We worship you. Our Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we ask for liberty that we might preach. God, we ask for liberty that the hearers might hear. And God, we do pray today that you'd draw us closer to Christ, that you'd use this meeting for your name's sake. Thank you for this dear church. We ask you to bless her labors. Thank you for Brother Ronnie and what you've done in his life, in his family. God, we thank you for that. We ask you to continue to bless them. Our Father, we ask you to magnify your Son now through everything that's done and said today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The marks of a meaningful ministry. In these verses of Scripture, we get some idea of what the ministry meant to the Apostle Paul. We see here the marks of a meaningful ministry, of a worthwhile ministry. I'm glad that ministry doesn't have to be a dry, drab thing, aren't you? I'm glad it can be full of meaning and full of purpose. I say to you that I wouldn't trade jobs with anybody. Amen. I'm glad to be a preacher of the gospel. I know that sometimes on the field, as we're there on the field and we're laboring and we're going through struggles and we're dealing with the everyday issues of life, sometimes it can seem as if ministry is not worthwhile, but I say that that's a lie from Satan. There's not a more worthwhile vocation in the world than being a preacher of the gospel. And so we see here why the ministry was so meaningful to Paul, because of these marks which characterized his life and his ministry. As I studied this passage of Scripture, these truths really challenged my heart. It made me pray and ask the Lord that these things might be real in my life and in my ministry. I want you to notice, first of all, that meaningful Christian service is marked by anticipation. Meaningful Christian service is marked by anticipation. The Bible says in verse number 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Paul had traveled north on his way to Macedonia, and suddenly he found an opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. I say that Paul anticipated such opportunities as these. Paul looked forward to the opportunity of a door being opened that he might preach the gospel. Now, I've been going through the book of Acts, or I wouldn't say going through it verse by verse, but sort of section by section on Wednesday evenings. And of course, you know, there where Paul was forbidden to settle in Bithynia, and we know that the Holy Spirit wanted him to go to Macedonia. And I talked to our people about the frustration that he might have felt. I tell you, it's a frustrating thing to be a preacher and to not be able to preach. You know, there for a while, I was out of the pastorate for nearly a year now. I had opportunities to preach, but I believe I'm called to be a pastor. I believe some folks are called to be evangelists, some pastors. I really feel like I'm at home in the pastorate, and I missed it. And I'll tell you, that was some frustrating times for me. But when the door was open for me to be able to preach the gospel and to be able to pastor the Baptist church that I'm in, I say to you that I had much anticipated that. I find myself, whenever I'm sitting in the Sunday school class on Sunday morning, listening to our Sunday school teacher there in the young married class. He does a great job teaching, thank the Lord. Amen. I'm glad he's a good Sunday school teacher. I believe Sunday school's more than just asking everybody about their opinion on a verse of Scripture. Amen. Whenever I went to school, the teacher never did ask me what I thought about. She just got up and taught. Amen. I believe that's what Sunday school teachers are supposed to do. But nonetheless, he'll be teaching the Bible. And I mean, I just can't hardly stand myself, brother buddy. I'm thinking, I hope these 45 minutes hurry up and go on by, because I'm anticipating the opportunity to get in the pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord. I'm trying to say that the mark of a meaningful ministry is that it first of all is marked by anticipation. He anticipated the opportunity to preach. I believe the reason he anticipated the opportunity to preach is because he anticipated the outcome of preaching. Amen. I say that the outcome of preaching, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses preaching, amen, to save sinners. And Paul knew that the preaching of the gospel had transformed sinners' lives, had brought them out of paganism and brought them into the light. And just as the brother sang about this morning, he knew that that change could be made in their lives if they could hear the preaching of the gospel, the outcome of preaching. I believe that's one reason he anticipated it so much, is because he knew that sinners would be saved by the grace of God. Not only did he anticipate preaching because of the salvation of sinners, but also because of the service of saints. I love to see saints serve God, don't you? I mean, I love to see a good, strong church that don't mind having a Bible conference and serving men of God. That's a blessing to my heart, man. I'm telling you, I love to see it. You correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, but I love to see it as much as I do somebody getting saved. I really do. I guess that's part of being a pastor again. I like to see people growing in the Lord and going further with God. And I mean, being a blessing to other people. And Paul knew that not only were sinners going to get saved, but he knew that those sinners were going to become servants who would lead other people to Christ. And he anticipated that. He looked forward to that. He anticipated the opportunity to preach. Jonathan Edwards said every sermon is a salvation sermon. Because the perseverance of the saints, he said, is contingent upon the preaching of the word. I believe that. You ever heard anybody say, man, I'm starving to death spiritually? I believe they're confirming that truth that Mr. Edwards was teaching, don't you? I'm trying to tell you, bless God, look forward to going to the pulpit and preaching the word. Hey, there's something to it, hallelujah. It'll change sinners, and it'll put some gusto in saints like nothing else. We see here that meaningful Christian service is marked by anticipation. He anticipated the Lord's service. Meaningful Christian service is marked by allurement. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That's some hard truths, isn't it? For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Meaningful Christian service is marked by allurement. Christ has triumphed. Yea, Christ is triumphing. And Christ shall triumph.
Yeah, that's right.
And we share in that triumph. And when we do, we allure other people to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says there in verse number 14, "And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." In the valleys of life, we are to make manifest the savor of his knowledge. In the struggles, in the hard times, it's in every place, the Bible says. Always, the Bible says. Meaningful Christian service is marked by allurement. You know, I was in a Bible conference not too long ago and I passed by a preacher who had on some cologne, and I mean, it smelled great. And it caught my attention. It arrested my attention. Now, I wished I would have asked him. I was sort of embarrassed too, but I wished I'd have asked him. I liked it so much. I thought maybe later on I'd be able to identify the smell in the store somewhere, but I haven't been able to do that. But what I'm trying to say is that that smell arrested my attention. I'm trying to say there should be something arrestingly different about a born-again Christian. Something that arrests lost people's attention, that arrests other saved people's attention. Meaningful Christian service is marked by allurement, isn't it? It is marked by anticipation. And I'd say thirdly, meaningful Christian service is marked by aggravation. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13. "I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." And then notice what the Bible says there in verse number 15. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things?" It's marked by aggravation. First of all, he's aggravated by the saints. The Bible says in verse number 13, "I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother." I'm here to tell you there was some saints at Corinth, some believers that had aggravated Paul. Now I know that these believers were deceived by false teachers and by false ways, but nonetheless they had been deceived. And I would remind you that saved people can be deceived. Amen. This led to aggravation coming into Paul's life and into Paul's ministry. He was aggravated by the saints. And it's a shame when a preacher has to leave messages of... He said he had opportunity to preach the gospel at Torres, didn't he? But he had no rest in his spirit. He had to go see about Titus because of the happenings at Corinth. And so he had to leave this evangelistic outreach in order to go and check on Titus and to see what the happenings were at Corinth because of the problems they had there. You see, Christians who cause trouble absorb time from preachers that they need to be given to evangelism and exhorting the saints. Now, I wish I could preach evangelistic sermons every time I preach, and I wish I could preach messages of encouragement every time I preach. I'm pretty sure Paul wished the same thing, Brother Ronnie. But the problem was he had some carnal believers at Corinth. And you got to deal with that. He had some folks that were involved in division. They were involved in heresy. And if he was going to be the man of God that God called him to be, preach what? The whole counsel of God. He was going to have to deal with these things. Well, I'm trying to say that he was aggravated by the saints. Some would have you to believe that you know, if somebody gives you some trouble and aggravation, they've never been born again. That's not always so. Sometimes it is so, sometimes it isn't so. But he was aggravated by the saints. He was aggravated by sinners. The Bible says in verse number 15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" He was aggravated by sinners. You see, the sin that brought smiles to one crowd's face brought frowns to another. The gospel that meant victory to one crowd meant defeat to others. When the cross was raised, it divided. And when the cross is preached, it divides. I would remind you that there is a world that hates the cross. There's a religion that hates, there's religiosity that hates the cross. What is our victory? What we rejoice in, hallelujah, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's the way I'm going to heaven, and if you're going, that's the way you're going. That's the only way to go. What brings peace and hope to us brings discouragement and despair to others. Because it speaks of their defeat. He is aggravated by sinners. It's unpopular to preach the cross. Amen. If you want to, you know, some preachers won't just see what they can keep going, you know. If you want to just, you know, if you want to meet with some hostility, preach Christ. This world will give you all the hostility you want over preaching Jesus. He is aggravated by sinners. He is aggravated by saints. And I say thirdly, he is aggravated by self. He said, who is sufficient for these things? You get this pressure coming from the saints and pressure coming from the sinners and pressure from within. That's the worst guy. And it will lead you to say, oh, who is sufficient for these things? You know, you'll be tempted to water down the message, tempted to avoid certain elements of the Christian faith. Because you feel in and of yourself you're not sufficient for these things. And you're not, and I'm not, but thank God He is. No, I heard about an old black preacher that was preaching a New Year's message. And he said during the course of the message, he said, all you that have had problems with the devil over the past year, lift your hands up real high right now. About half the crowd raised their hands. And so he said to the rest of them, he said, you must have been going in the same direction with him. Because if you would have been going in the opposite direction, you would have hit him head on over the past year. I'm trying to tell you, if you're being aggravated, hallelujah, that probably means you're doing something right. I told you we was preaching in the book of Acts. And you know, we talk about the early church. We talk about the power of the Holy Ghost being on the early church. The Christ-centered preaching. The men who were full of faith. And thank God all that blesses and encourages my heart. But you know one overwhelming truth that stands out about the early church? They were constantly opposed. They were opposed by religion. They were opposed by this world. They met with opposition. What I'm trying to say is meaningful Christian service is marked by aggravation. Now I know that we ought not go around just looking for things. You don't have to look for things. If you'll preach the book and preach Jesus, they'll find you. You don't have to worry about that. I'm not saying that, you know, when, you know, I know some people, it seems as if they think in order to have a successful ministry, you've got to have something going on all the time at your church. Got to be fighting all the time. Now, I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm alluding to. However, I am trying to say that I stand in doubt of a preacher or a church that never meets with any opposition whatsoever. Every church that I've ever known that's done anything for God, or I should say God's done something through them or a preacher, they've always met with plenty of opposition. Meaningful Christian service is marked by aggravation. My pastor, Brother David, says he figured out that he just tries to find out which church is talked about the most in the community, and that's the crowd he wants to join up with. Because that's probably the best church around. Amen. Meaningful Christian service is marked by aggravation. Meaningful Christian service is marked by credibility. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Paul is defending his ministry for the welfare of the church. And that's the reason he's doing this. You preachers know this. But he says, you are our letter of recommendation. Your changed lives. That's a pretty good resume, isn't it? Amen. That's a pretty good resume. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
You look at your changed lives.
Yeah.
You remember what you were and you remember what you are now and think that God used me. God did it, but God used me that change might be right in your life.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good resume.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I'm going to say something right here. I guess I'm just picking on, I'm going to deal with one of my pet peeves, but I can't help it. It really bothers me when preachers will send out 25 and 50 resumes on Saturday. I mean, that bothers me. I still believe God has a man for the church and a church for the man.
I mean, that's old-fashioned, I guess, but I still just really believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you're sending out that many on Saturday, you're looking for a job. You're not looking for a church. You're looking for a paycheck. Amen. I believe that.
I guess that's somewhat controversial, but that's okay. Meaningful Christian service is marked by a credibility.
It's marked by a credibility. Amen.
There will be some changed lives under your ministry. You say, I don't see as many converts as some of these great evangelists. I don't either. But I'm trying to tell you, if you'll be faithful to preach the book,
you're right, son.
You'll find that there'll be some changed lives under your ministry. May not be as many as have got down the road, but God will bless it. Not because you, because you're preaching His Word. Hallelujah. He's promised He's going to bless His Word, hadn't He? Isn't that what He said in Isaiah chapter 55, that His Word's not going to return void? Meaningful Christian service is marked by a credibility. And lastly, meaningful Christian service is marked by appreciation. The Bible says in verse number 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." Meaningful Christian service is marked by appreciation. Paul realized that it wasn't he that was doing it, but it was God that was doing it through him. And so he appreciated the Lord for how he was using it and what he was doing through the person of the Holy Spirit of God in confirming the gospel in these people's lives. Meaningful Christian service is marked by appreciation. I tell you, I'm what I am by the grace of God. God uses me. If any good comes from my ministry, it'll be because God did it. Amen. I bless His name for all He's done. Amen. Meaningful Christian service, marked by anticipation. You still look forward to preaching? Meaningful Christian service is marked by allurement. It's marked by aggravation, a credibility, and appreciation. Our Father, we ask You to honor Your word for Jesus' sake. Amen.